Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Chof Ches. We are holding at the very top of the Yomid on the second line, Tanu Rabbanan. Before we begin, you'll recall at the end of yesterday's shiur, Barry asked a very, very good question. We said yesterday in the Mishnah on Chof Zayin Amid Aleph that Reb Lezer says that you need 14 sudos on sukkahs. Why? Because each person eats 2 sudos a day. Achas b'yoyim, the achas b'layla. And Barry pointed out that every time you have 7 days of Sukkot, at least one day is Shabbos. Shabbos, don't you need sholosh se'udos? And therefore, shouldn't it be 15 se'udos altogether? So I promised Barry I would try to look it up. And in fact, I found that there are 3 major ways of understanding Reb Lezer. One way is the Me'iri. The Me'iri says that Reb Lezer is only referring to Sukkos requirements. He's not referring to extraneous requirements. So that, therefore, of course Reb Lezer holds that there are 15 meals altogether, including Shabbos. However, he's just talking about from the standpoint of Sukkos, since normally a person eats 2 meals a day, 2 times 7 is 14, and if there'll be reasons to have extra seudos, for instance, on Shabbos, that you have to have 3 seudos, and presumably, if a normal individual only eats lunchtime and then in the evening, and it is a bris in the morning, then he has to have that bris also inside, not the bris, but the seuda will have to be inside the sukkah. And if he makes a siyum mashas, he'll make it in the sukkah. But in terms of what sukkah's requirements are, since the normal daily allocation, a daily amount of people typically eat is twice, so 2 times 7 is 14. So therefore, Reb Lezer is not going into other considerations which are not mehilchos sukkah. That's what the Me'iri answers. Other mafarshim, and I had Fred Ehrman, my good friend, sent me an email yesterday from the Melech Shloima, which is a Pirish on Mishnayis, and other mafarshim say that the 14 meals remain the same. It's just a question of the scheduling of the meal. So, for instance, on your normal Shabbos, you would have a Friday night Suda, and you'd have a Shabbos day Suda. But what about the Shalosh Sudas? Says the Melech Shloima, don't eat it Saturday night, Matzah Shabbos, but eat it on Shabbos. In other words, just be makdim that meal and eat it then at 6 o'clock in the evening instead of eating it at 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening. So eat it on Shabbos, and as a result, you have the same 14 meals, you're just rescheduling the Matzah Shabbos meal. The only problem with this prat is then you lose out on Lava Malka. So apparently the Melech Shloim and the other Mefarshim that give that pshat feel that the status of Melech Malka is not the same level of chiyuv as the other meals, and rather be makdim the Melech Malka and eat shalashudis, and therefore you mekayim the 14 meals. The final pshat that I saw, which is the Cheshik Shloimah, which is in the back of the normal Gemaras, you're not going to find in the back of the Art Scroll Gemaras, but in the back of the regular Shas Gemaras, there's a Pirish of the Cheshik Shloimah, and he says a very, very nice pshat. He says that if you look back at the Mishnah of yesterday, where Reb Lezer, when he says 14 meals, he means besides the first meal. In fact, if you look at the Lushan of the Mishnah in Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, at the top of the Yom, Reb Lezer, Uyme Arba Esri Sudas Chayiv Odom Lech Lesukka Achad V'yoyim V'yachas B'layla, make a comma for a moment. V'chom Amayim Eile Dover Kitzvah, no, there is no such particular requirement of 14 meals. And now the Mishnah continues on, both for Reb Lezer and for Chachamim, chutz milele yontav rishon shel chag levad, besides the first night. Besides the first night, says Reb Lezer, you have to have 14. And the Chachamim say, no, eile dover kitzvah, there's no requirement of having anything in addition to the first night. And says the Cheshik Shloima, look at the lashon of the Mishnah. Reb Lezer says, "Chayv onam lechol sukkah achas biyoyim v'achas b'layla." As we all know, Yom Tov starts in the evening, and if you have 14 meals, it would make sense to say achas b'layla v'achas biyoyim, and then the second day achas b'layla v'achas biyoyim, repeated 7 times. Now the answer is because the first night that's already explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah, one line later. That's chutz milele rishon shel chag. Everybody agrees you have that chiyuv of the first night. Says Reb Lezer, in addition to that, you have to have another 14 achas piyoyim starting from the first morning and then continuing on the next evening, and so on and so forth. And according to this pshat, it's beautiful, then you have, in fact, 15 meals altogether, 14 besides the Leili Yontav Rishon Shel Chag. Anyway, that's the Cheshek Shloimin back of the Gemara. Ayin Shom, a very nice pshat. So, thank you, Barry. So there are at least three different ways of trying to resolve your question. So starting now in Chof Ches Amar Aleph, Tap of the Yomid, Tan Rabbanan, second line. Mas Reb Lezer, Sheshovas V'Goluhu Elyoin. Reb Lezer was Shoivis, he was staying over Shabbos in the Galil. V'shalu shloishim halachos behilchei sukkah. They asked him 30 halachos in hilchei sukkah. Now you remember yesterday we had that Reb Lezer, when he was asked a halacha involving hilchei Shabbos about being poreis sadin, whether that was considered to be a bone, but oil aroi, or being moisif ala oil, Reb Lezer did not want to answer. And the Gemara told us, not because Reb Lezer was not a nice guy, but the reason is he had a midah shlei omar dover shlei shomam nipiraboy li oilam. Reb Lezer would never paskin a shayla about something that he was not mekabel the hayra'a from his Rebbe. And in fact, the Gemara is now going to focus on that a little bit. And the Gemara tells us that they asked him 30 halachas b'hilchei sukkah. Shtein esrei omalehem shamati. On 12 of them he said, yes, I heard the answer, I'm going to give it to you. Shmoina asar, really should say shmoina esrei, omalehem lo shamati. And the remaining 18, I did not hear this psak, and therefore I will not answer on my own. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer chilaf advar. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, really, the story is just the opposite. Shemoyne Esrei Omulahem Shemati. On 18, he said, I did hear the answer, and he shared the answer with them. Shteim Esrei Omulahem Loi Shemati. I did not hear the psak on the other 12, and therefore he did not wish to go and express any view. Omru Loi. So then the Talmidim said to him, Kod Verecha Einon Elimi Pia Shmua. I mean, aren't you mechadish anything? Everything that you hear is just based on reports that you've heard. You're not willing to go and say anything independently. Is Omalahem, so Reb Lezer said to them, his kaktuni, by your question, you have pushed me, you have forced me, loyma dovishli shamati mipira boisai. I'm going to have to now tell you something that I did not hear from my rebbes. And once again, Reb Lezer is going to continue not expressing any psak halacha that he did not hear from his Rebbe. But what he's saying is, I'm going to share with you some of my midos, some things that I'm accustomed to that I've never shared with other people. And what are my midos? Number one, miyomar lekinmani odom b'smedrash. I was always the first person in b'smedrash every morning. Nobody ever preceded me. V'lo yishanti b'smedrash. And I was very careful not to go and doze off in shul in the b'smedrash. Lo yishinis kva, v'lo yishinis aroi, not a full-fledged shina, and not even a temporary shina. In other words, even though I was the first one in shul, presumably I came 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning before everybody else, you would think that when he's in Bismedish, he might doze a little bit because he's tired. No, he never dozed off. V'leinachti odon Bismedish, v'yotzasi. I never left anybody in the Bismedish and I left. Meaning, I was the one always that closed up every night. I was the first one that opened the doors every morning, and I was the final one that left every evening. And nevertheless, even though I apparently didn't get a lot of sleep, I didn't go and sleep in Bismedish. V'lo yisachti sichas chulin. I was very careful not to speak sichas chulin. Rashi says sichas chulin means divrei havoi uschoik. Doesn't mean that he didn't say anything. If somebody asked him, you know, what's his address, he would be able to go and share that. He just didn't go and say anything nonsensical, any shtusim, anything which was, of course, that you need to speak about, you speak. But anything which is just nonsense, he would not engage in nonsensical chatter. So this is the reason why we brought this story, because once again, Reb Lezer is going and sharing with us his midah, that he never repeated something that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. Now why did he give that lengthy introduction that he was the first one in Bismedish and he was the last one in Bismedish? The point that he was trying to make is, don't think that the reason why I'm not sharing with you more Piskei Halacha is because of the fact that I didn't hear it, I missed the shiur, I missed the drasha. I never missed any shiurim or any drashas. I was always the first one in the Bais Medrash. I was always the last one in Bais Medrash. So if the Rebbe paskens something, I heard it. The reason why I'm not giving you a psak halacha is because I did not hear any response to those particular shailas. But if a shaila was addressed and the Rebbe answered them, of course I would have heard it, and of course I would share it with you. Who was the Rebbe of Reb Lezer? None other than the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And therefore, now we're going to talk about the Rebbe. Omru Olah Reb Shim ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Mi yom of leisach sichas chulin. As we'll see over the next few lines, the midos that we said about Reb Lezer are almost carbon copies of the midos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Some of the new generation doesn't know what a carbon copy is, but they're almost identical with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's midos. Then again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "Miyam alei sachsi chaschulin." He didn't talk nonsense. V'loy halach dal ramis v'loy toira u'beloy tefillin. He never walked for Amos without Torah or without tefillin, anywhere and everywhere. He was always either wearing tefillin or reciting divrei Torah or both. And nobody got earlier than him to the Bais Medrash. Just like his Talmud. And he never had a hearer, even though he was constantly learning. If he had to go in a mavoi metunaf, mavoi metunaf typically means that there was a reyach ra as a result of tzoa, or result of Meiraglayim, is going through Mokka Matunav. There he was very, very careful not to be Maharev and Divrei Torah. Same thing, he was always the last one out. First one in, last one out, right? That's a LIFO or FIFO or something like that. Nobody ever saw him sitting and being quiet. He was always sitting and learning. In other words, he came early to Bais Medrash, he left the last one, but he was never sitting around just twiddling his thumbs. He was always learning. He would open up the door for the Talmidim. In other words, it wasn't beneath his dignity to go and open. Rather, when the Talmidim came, he would, since he was the first one there, he would open up the door for them. Oh, the same thing that we said about Reb Lezer, his Rebbe, Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, had the same minhag not to say anything that he did not hear expressly from his Rebbe. He was in charge of the Bais Medrash. He was the one that turned the lights on and turned the lights off, so to speak, every day. But he never said, "Rabbi, it's time to leave." Never said that, except twice a year, Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. Vos Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. So Rashi says, "Arvi Psachim nei Asias Pischeim." Rashi, the first narrow line at the top of the Yomud. At the end of Masechtas Pesachim, we already had this, that when that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai never said Higi Eis Lamoy except for Arvi Pesachim. Arvi Pesachim number one is to tell the Rabbi Yisai, you have to go to Beis Hamidrash and bring your Karban Pesach. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived at the time when the Beis Hamidrash was still around. He unfortunately saw the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and he was gozer a number of gezeiros post the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So when we say in the Rashi, "Neasias Pischeim," this is in his youth, in his earlier years, when the Beis Hamikdash was still standing. He said to the Talmid, "Rabbi, Schnell, leave the Beis Hamikdash. You have to bring your Churban Pesach, and the doors of the Beis Hamikdash are going to close soon. There are only three kitos. If you don't bring it soon, it'll be all over." So that's the Rashi. The Ritva says that in later years he would go and tell them mitnei hamatzah. As you know, in many communities, and in Shulchan Aruch it's brought an inyan of having mitzvah matzah that was baked on Erev Pesach itself. So he said, "Rabbi, Shnell, go to the ovens, bake the matzah to go and have mitzvah matzah for Leil Pesachim, for the at night. But the other reason given by Rashi is also brought in the Gemara there in Masechtas Pesachim, Ne'atin Oikos, that one should go and go home quickly, and then there's a machloikis exactly what that means, Shelo Yishno. Keep them up for the Seder, so that they don't fall asleep before the Seder, or just the opposite, have them sleep now in Erev Pesach, so that they should be up for the Seder. Regardless, but that's the reason why he sent them home, all the Kovid Yom to the Kovid Pesach. As far as Arve Yom Kippurim is concerned, says Rashi, Shetzarech Lechem Abayjan, you gotta eat, you gotta prepare yourself to eat for Yom Kippur. And the Mefarshim add, as you recall, we learned not too long ago, Kol Ham Oichel B'Chi'i Ki'ilu Mis'an Chi'i V'Asiri. Since the Torah says, Mesish L'Chodesh V'Erev Me'Erev Ad Erev Tish B'Su Shabbatchem, the Gemara back at the end of Yuma asked, what means mitish lechodesh be'erev? We don't, the inisim es nafshei seichem besish lechodesh be'erev. We don't start fasting on the ninth day, we start fasting at night. What's this besish lechodesh? See, what is at the end of Masechtas Yuma, it comes to tell you, whoever eats on the ninth day of Tishrei, and Rashi added, and he had in mind to be able to fast on the 10th day of Tishrei, is kilu esana chivasi. That's why he said, boy, say, leave early, so you can mekayim the inyan of eating today to prepare for Yom Kippur. So the Blazer followed him in the various midos that we spoke about, and in particular on the midah of the Omer Dover Shlei Shoma Mipi Raboy Me'olam. Now before we continue on, just for a nutza de bedichasa, they tell the story that in the Haim there was a person in the community who was a wealthy individual, but a tremendous amuret, as well as he was not a grace about tzedakah, and he was not a particularly good guy. Unfortunately, vahi hayoyim, and this person passed away, and the children wanted the father to have a proper a hesped and a proper levaya. So they went to the Ruv and said to the Ruv, Ruv, can you go and be masped our father? And the Ruv says, it's not going to be easy. You know, your father was Nishka Grois Talmud Chochem, and he was not a Grois about Tzedakah, and he wasn't this and he wasn't that. Ruv, please do the best you can to go and give a nice hesped. Okay, he'll do. The next day, or the next, whenever the levaya took place, the Ruv got up and said, you have no idea who is lying here in front of us. This nifter has one of the great midos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. What midah is that? Lo hear her v'mavuos hametunafos. He was very careful not maharin dibrei Torah when he went through a mokim etunav chas v'sholem mamish. He followed in the footsteps of that great sage, the great tzaddik Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in this midah. The children probably didn't understand what he said, but they were very happy that he gave a very nice, beautiful hesped. He followed in the footsteps of Yechim and Zakkai. So we continue on. Tana Rabbanan, Shemoinim Talmidim Hoyle the Hil Hazaken. Hil Hazaken had 80 Talmidim. You're wondering why we bring this? You'll see in a moment. 30 of them were in the Madrega, that they should be Zoycha Tashros Ashchina because of them. The reason why they didn't have Hashras Hashchina is not because of them, it's because of Bnei Doiroi. Unfortunately, the other people who lived in that generation were not on that Madrega, that Kodesh Baruch Hu should be Shoyr Hashchina, but these 30 Talmidim, they were on the Madrega that Hashem should be Shoyr Hashchina just for them. Ushloisha mehen 30 others, Ruim Shetamalem Chama Kirishu Benun, not on the same Madrega as Moshe, but at least on the Madrega of Yeshua ben Nun, that we know it says in the Pasuk that when Yeshua ben Nun came into Eretz Yisrael, that Shemesh something don, something the Enek Ayolai. I'm sure the biblical, the Tanakhites among us know the Pasuk exactly, but you know what I'm referring to. Shemesh Be'enek Ayolai. Anyway, so they were roi, they were worthy that the Chama should stand and stop for them. As Esrim Beinanim, now we have 20 in the middle. 20 in the middle means that we just spoke about 60. 30 like Moshe, 30 like Yeshua, that's 60 altogether. There were 80 Talmidim, so the 20 Beinanim are in between the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua ben Nun. Gadol shebekulan Yonis ben Uziel, the greatest of them was Yonis ben Uziel. Katan shebekulan, the least of them was Rabbi Yechem Zakkai. Others Rabbi Yechem Zakkai that we just mentioned a moment ago, and that's why we bring this memory. Amru ol Rabbi Yechem Zakkai. You know what they said about Rabbi Yechem Zakkai? Shlo yiniach mikra u'mishna gemara halachos va'agodos v'dukei Torah v'dukei Sofrim, etc., etc. What we mean to see is Rabbi Yechem Zakkai was baki b'chol la Torah kula. He didn't have one pasuk that he didn't comment on or that he didn't know. Umishna, of course, the Mishnayos. Gemara, so Rashi explains, Gemara is not like we say Gemara today because they didn't have a printed art scroll Shas in the times of Rabbi Yechem Zakkai. But Gemara means the various svaris, machloikasin, different interpretations that the Amoraim gave to the Mishnah, where they mafalpel askashes, gave explanations. That's all included in our modern day Gemaras, and that's what Rabbi Yechem Zakkai knew. Obviously, knew all of these things valpeh because none of these things had been written down yet. Halachas means he knew all the hilcha halachas for Moshe Sinai, and Rashi brings that those include, for instance, in our Masechta, the inyan of lovud doifanakuma, good achis, good asik, etc. Vagodois, he knew all the midrashim. Diktuke Torah says he knew all of the drashas of Chazal based on extra or missing letters. For instance, we're going to have after the next Mishnah, the Gemara is going to darshan Ho Ezrach. Kol Ezrach be Yisrael, Yeshu Basukais. Why did it say Kol Ezrach, or why did it say Ho Ezrach with the Hey? So these Diktuke Torah, meaning extra letters, come to tell you different drashas, different pshatim, and he knew all of that. Diktukei Soifim, says Rashi, we're really talking about Dirabonans, where the Rabbanan decided that because people are not being medactic in particular mitzvahs, they added Diktukei Soifim, they added Gezeiros and Chumris, so that people should go and properly obey the Torah. So that's the Diktukei Soifim with the Gezeiros Chachom. Kalim v'chamoyim, of course, all the kal v'chamoyim that we have in Shas, the gzeirah shavus that we have, tekufois, says Rashi, means that they were baki in the cheshvan hiluch chama ulavana. You see, Rashi parallel to our Gemara, they were baki in the hiluch chama ulavana, all of the various cheshvanis that the astronomers have put together over the years. He was a baki in astronomy. The gematriois. Now, you know, gematriois usually means you add up the letters and you come up with a number. And Rashi, in fact, brings that as well. He brings the famous Gemara Lagavi Stam Naziris Shloishim Yoim, a Nozir that takes upon himself Haregi Nozir. The minimum is 30 days because it says in the Pasuk Kodesh Yihia, and Yihia is Begematria Yud-Ke is Begematria 30 altogether. But Rashi also says the Gematriois is even broader than that. And that is that you can go and be Machlef, you can go and exchange certain letters. So Rashi says, for instance, we have a pasuk in Yirmiyah where it refers to Sheshach. Where was Sheshach? I never heard of Sheshach. And the answer is Sheshach is really Bavel. How does Sheshach get to Bavel? Because you have one of the ways of the Gematrios is At Bash Gar Dak. I'm sure all of you are generally familiar with that. So At means wherever it says an Aleph, you can substitute a Tav. And where it says a Beis, you can substitute a Shin. And therefore, Sheshach is really not Shin Shin, but Beis Beis. And if you continue on, Gar, Dak, Hatz, Vap, Za, etc., until you get to Ois Chof, you'll see that that's Meschalif with the Ois Lamed. So Sheshach is Ba'ad Bash. That's another form of Gematria. And then the Gemara tells the Sichas Malachi Ashores, the Sichas Shedim, Shindalit, the Sichas Dikolim. What are these three? So Rashi says, Lo yadana mahi. Rashi says, I don't know what the definition of these sichas malachim, the shindalids, the tekolim, I don't know what that is really all about. Now, there is, however, Likute Rashi. In my Gemaras, it says, only one Likute Rashi. It says, look for the rest on the Amud Beis. So if you have the typeset of my Gemara, you'll see on the Amud Beis, you have Likute Rashi on the left-hand side. And this Gemara that we are learning now is also brought in Masechtas Bava Basra on Daf Kuf Lamed Dalid. There is no Rashi there. Here the Likutei Rashi is a bit of a misnomer, because it's really Likutei Rashbam. But if you look up, again in my Gemara, it's on the Amud Beis, Likutei Rashi, if you look down about two-thirds, it says, Sichas Shindalid, Lahashbiyam, to go, he was able to speak their language, to be Mashbiya them, to go and make them make an oath. If you have to put a Kameya, you have to write a Kameya for someone who needs it, and the reason why that person is sick in the first place is because of the Shindalas that have put their evil spell on an individual, so he needed to know their Sicha to be able to go and write a Kameya. If you skip one, the same thing, Sichas Malachi Ashur is Lahajbiyam, to go Mashbiyam. I'm not exactly sure what oath you would administer to the Malachim, but if you had to administer an oath, you would need to know their Sicha, their speech, their language. And the Sichas Tekolim, we skipped over, Sichas Kolim, Shmenei Odom, Regilin, Ledaber, Alad, Kolim, Kirchsev, Bishloima, Veidaber, Ala, Eitzim. From the Loshen of this Rishbam, it sounds that he's saying that he didn't know the Sicha that the, it's not that the trees spoke, because the trees, after all, are inanimate objects. But he knew what people spoke about various tekolim, presumably which tekolim are good for firewood and which are good for construction and things of that nature. But other mafarshim, in fact, say that sichas tekolim means that when the tekolim sway back and forth in the winds, they're also saying something, and he knew that sicha as well. Anyway, getting back to the Amud Aleph, Misholis Koivsim, Misholis Shu'olim. What Rashi explains is that these are Misholim that the Darshanim would use, just like the Dubna Magid was famous for giving a Moshel. Also, when they wanted to say Divrei Musar, the Toichacha to Klal Yisrael, they wouldn't speak about Rabbi Smith and about Rabbi Jones, but they would go and talk about the Koivsim and the Shu'olim and make a marshal based on them. Koifsim, of course, are launderers, and Sha'olim are foxes. Dover Godel with Dover Cotton. Dover Godel Masa Merkava. He was familiar with the Masa Merkava, which, as you know, is in Yecheskel. Dover Cotton, Havayis, Dabai Varova. All the Machloikis and all the Shaydas we have Abai Varova in the Gemara, even though, of course, Abai Varova were a few generations after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. What the Gemara means to say is that the issues that Abai Varova argued about, they were already the source of argument at the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew all the give and take, and he was able to be poshet to answer and respond to all of these havayas. But unfortunately, over the years, from the time Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai until Abai Varova, a lot of that had been lost, because Nebuch of the whatever Torah is going on for Klal Yisrael at the time. After all, remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was at the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, so people were fleeing, lots of Torah was lost, and unfortunately you have all the Habayis, the Abai Varova. The Meforshim explained that it says Dover Cotton is not Chas V'Sholem in any way to denigrate Abai Varova's Habayis, but it just means compared to the Mas Merkava. Mas Merkava, which is all very Kabbalistic, very esoteric, compared to that, Abai Varova's Machloikasim, which are down to earth, as opposed to in the celestial bodies upstairs. That's why it's called Dover Cotton, relatively speaking. The Kaim Hashanemar, that it says of Brichim Zaka that he knew all of this. The Kaim Hashanem is to go and be Mekaim, but it says in the Pasuk, Lahanchal Ehavi Yesh Vaitriseim Amale. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives to his Ehavim, to those that he loves and those that love him, he gives them Yesh, he gives them a tremendous Nachla, and he's filled their Oitzreis, meaning their Oitzreis is Chochma, to go and fill them with wisdom and knowledge, etc. Kach, since we said that this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Godesh Shebekulan Lachas Kama Kama, tell me a little bit of Rabbi Yochanan ben Uziel, who was the Ari Shebechabura. What would you say about him? Amr Olav, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uziel, B'shosh Sheyoyshev Oisim Gatoira, when he would sit and learn Torah, Kol Oif Sheparech Olav Miyad Nisraf, any bird that would go and fly above him would go and be burned from the great Kedusha that emanated from Rabbi Yochanan ben Uziel. Rashi, the top choice, says on the left hand side, Koloif Shapareach Lam Yad Nisraf Shadvorim Smechem Kinesinosim Besinai Shinot Nitna Torah Ba'esh. Torah was given Ba'esh, and therefore the Gemara is telling us that the words of Torah were so happy and dancing. It's as if he was being makabel the Torah mi Sinai at that point, and therefore it's as if a fire went out and would go and burn and oif perech. The Yerushalmi says, now that we've discussed the midos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, what would we say about Hill himself, Hill who was the Rebbe? So the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, when the oif was perech olav, meaning within his dalet amos immediately above him, when Hill HaZokin would learn oifus that would be perech even outside of his dalet amos, if they were above, would also be burned miyad nisra. They say b'shem idus fasemes on the chadusherim. I believe punk faket that the Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, he was taka very very great that the ish came out and burned the oif. Hill HaZokin was so great that he was able to contain that fire within him, so that even if an oif was perech olav, he was not singed, it was not touched, because he was able to control his midos and keep the esh within him, as opposed to having it go out and the open and burning nevach the oif perech. They say that in Sfasemus, I think, said this about the Helik Chofetz Chaim, that at the one of the Knesias Gedoilois, the Chofetz Chaim came up with a proposal. I believe the proposal had something to do with women. Maybe that they should have a special session for women. I don't recall exactly. But the other Kedoshim, or the other Gedoilim that were there, immediately poo-pooed the suggestion. And again, I wasn't there, so I don't know the details. But for whatever reason, they did not agree. So one would have thought the Helik HaChofetz Chaim would be incensed and would be upset, because after all, the Chofetz Chaim was considered by everybody to be the Tzadik Hador. No, the Chofetz Chaim sat there meekly and he just accepted it. If that's what the other Rabbanim said, fine. So they shtelt to this Gemara that he was on such a madrega that even the Oy Parech Olav was not Nisrav. He didn't get upset, he didn't get tzitzit, he didn't get, you know, Helik HaChofetz Chaim. Finally, Rabbi Sai, there's, you know, they say that there were three chavrusas that were learning this Gemara together. A chosid, a yeke, and a litvak. They say that the chosid learned the Gemara, he says, wow, look at the heilige kedisha, the tahara, the holiness, the sanctity of these great tzaddikim, Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, Yad Nisrav. The yeke said, das ist doch unglaublich, unglaublich, as the Faugel soll doch van verbrennt. It's unbelievable, wow, it's amazing. And they say, the Litvak learned the Gemara, says, if that Faugel belonged to Yankel, would Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel be mechuyev to pay damages? Would you consider that to be mamish ahezik? Would you consider it to be agrom ben Yizokin? Would it be like a shartamish or mur? Did you have to pay half damages? Is it his fault that the oif went on top? Is it the Mazik's negligence? Is it the Nizik's negligence? Etc., etc. Okay, Rabbi say, on to the next Mishnah. Zog the Mishnah, Mishnah Yeroshim, Rubin Besukam Shulchan, Betecham Bayis. As you'll recall, we had this Mishnah already in the beginning of our Masechta. Amachloikis Beishame Beisil. We're talking about a Sukkah Gedoyla, not a Sukkah Ktanik, Sukkah Gedoyla. Mishnah Yeroshim, Rubin Besukam. This fellow, however, was sitting at the edge of the sukkah. Maybe there were 100 other people, and the only seat that was left was there at the opening, the door of the sukkah, and he didn't even have a shulchan. However, his sukkah was right next to his dining room. In other words, they built the sukkah adjacent to the house, so he had a shulchan matrei chabayis, and the food was on the shulchan, but Rosh Hashanah was inside the sukkah. So now the question is that a problem? Beishami poisel, beisil mashir. The reason why Beishami poisel is not me'ikredin, but it's a gzeira. He's noivis that chulila, this person, whilst he's eating, he might bend over once or twice over his plate, so that, you know, the food doesn't fall on his lap or on the floor. So every time he bends over, he'll be eating outside the sukkah. The Rosh Hashanah will be out the sukkah. Therefore, Beishami poisel. And Beisil Mashir, Beisil was not so concerned. He said, it's okay. See, Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us a story. Don't you remember in previous generations when you had the Ziknei Beishamai, Ziknei Beisil,
In other words, an earlier generation visited Rabbi Yochanan Acharanis from Matzu Shayoshev Roshev Veruva Besukah Beshulchan Betoich Habayis. On this very situation that he was sitting at the doorway of the sukkah and the Shulchan Betoich Habayis for the Amr Leidavar, and they didn't say a word. They didn't say anything. So you see, we're right and you are wrong. Amr Bishami. So Bishami said, Bisham Raya. You bring a raya from there. It's just the opposite. Afim Amrulai. They told him, Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharanis, im kena yisa noig, if you've been doing this now for the last few years, like kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, you were never mekayem the mitzvah sukkah, because unfortunately each time you ate, you must have bent over a few times, and therefore it was roisha v'rubai outside the sukkah and not inside the sukkah. Says the Mishnah, Noshim Avodim Ketanim Petum and Asukah. Women, Avodim and Ketanim are potter. We'll see in the Gemara why they are potter momentarily. Cotton chain of might. A cotton that is already old enough that he does not need his mother. What is that age? The Mephoshim say approximately the age of 7 or 8 or 9, depending on the child. But the Gemara is going to give us not an age, but rather, how do you define a cotton chain of Tzarech Le'imai? We'll see that in the Amid Beis. Chai B'sukkah. He already is Chai B'sukkah. Not Mitzad Ikra Din, but Mitzad Chinuch to go and teach him. And if you remember, we had this again at the beginning of the Masechta with Hilni Amalka that had the 7 children. And the Gemara said that at least one of them had to be of the age of a cotton chain of Tzarech Le'imai. Right. Shin Tzarech Le'imai Chai B'sukkah. Mai Yisrael Yolde Kalosi Shal Shami Azokim. Shami Azokin's daughter-in-law gave birth. Upichas is a maziva. Shami Azokin went to the ceiling of the room and removed the plaster and made an opening in the roof. Besikach al gabi amita, and he put tzchach on top of the mita of his daughter-in-law, Bishul cotton for this young kid, who is of course only 1 day old. Shami Azokin was machmir to go and have him also sit or lay in the sukkah. And the Gemara is going to ask, Maisel this star, you just told me that Ketanim are potter. And the only cotton that's chayiv is Ein Tzarech Le'imai, a 1 day old cotton is Tzarech Le'imai. Why did Shami Azokin do this? We'll see Mitchim on the Amid Beis. So, Gemara, we said in the Mishnah, the Noshim, Avodim, and Ketanim are potter, and Asokim, and Anamili, how do I know the Tanur Rabban? It says in the Pasuk, Kol Ezrach be Yisrael, Yeshvu basukois, Darsh in the Gemara. If we would say the word Ezrach, not Kol Ha Ezrach, but just Ezrach alone, Ezrach ze Ezrach. Ze Ezrach says Rashi means all Yidin of Klal Yisrael, all men, all women. We're all, if you will, Jewish citizens, and therefore men and women would be mechuyev in the mitzvah of Sukkah. But it doesn't say Ezrach, it says Ha Ezrach with a capital He. That's why it's just an ocean to go and say only the men and not the women. So the hay is acting here as la fuke lahoitzi, as a miut. And then it says, kolu ezrach b'Yisrael, yeshu b'sukkah, it's kolu rabbi sektanim, that the sektanim do have a chiv. And the Gemara is going to ask shortly, you just said in the Mishnah that noshim and ketanim are potter, and now you're telling me that kolu rabbi sektanim, that ketanim are chayiv. The Gemara is going to talk about that momentarily. Omamah. Ha Ezrach lohitzi es anoshim. Lememra di Ezrach bein noshim bein gamri mashma. So what you're telling me is the word Ezrach on its own means both men and women until you add the hey as a miut. When it comes to Yom Kippur, we have a similar pasuk. What does it say by Yom Kippur? Also the same thing that kol Ezrach bi Yisrael. This is the loshon of the pasuk. Was the Lashon of the Pasuk by Yom Kippur? Rashi brings the Lashon of the Pasuk. Yeah. Te'anu es nafshu yiseichem, v'chol melocha v'yisasu, ho Ezrach, v'hager hagor b'soichem. So it says in the Pasuk, who isn't supposed to be te'anu es nafshu yiseichem, v'chol melocha v'yisasu, ho Ezrach. Darshini v'avatanya, ho Ezrach le'rabbis es hanoshim. If it would only say Ezrach, it would only mean the men. Ho Ezrach, the hey is a riboy to add the women. Who has rochiois, it goes together. As a noshim who has rochiois, the female citizens, shechayov is be'inoi. So Alma, what do I see from this? Ezrach, gabri mashma. Who Ezrach comes to be married by noshim? It's just the opposite of what we just said. when it comes to Sukkos, he's telling me Ezrach alone means both men and women. The hay of Ho Ezrach is to exclude the women. And here, by, when it comes to Yom Kippur, by Inui, it's the other way around. Ezrach means only the men. Who Ezrach the hay comes to? Add the women, make up your mind. Amar Rabba, Hilchas Aninu, it's really Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, V'asmachinu Rabbanan Akroi, and the Rabbanan just found a pasuk to be able to hang their hats on, but really it's based on Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. Frank Dimora, Hai Krova Hai Hilchasa. In other words, what Dimora is asking is, okay, so let's assume there would not be Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. Would the hay be a riboy? And then the Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai defeats that riboy? Or is hay a miut? And again, the Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai defeats the miut. So what is the real way of being? And this is, by the way, what Rashi said before, what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was diktukei Torah. He knew this diktukim of the hay. Whether the hay is a riboy or the hay is a miut. Vesu, besides that, I want to understand. Krolamali, Hilchasalamali, why do I need a special limud, a special lochomashi sinai? After all, everybody knows that the reason why women are potter min ha-sukkah, because sukkah is mitzvah seishas man krama, b'chom mitzvah seishas man krama, nashu b'turais. That's kol ha-Torah kol, everybody knows that. As well as, what about Yom Kippur? You know why women are mechuyev in inoy on Yom Kippur? Merav yudam merav nafkid yom revin amarav chaitan amirav yishmol amakros. The pasuk ish oy isha, and the pasuk continues on, ki yasu mikol chatois odom, darshin the gemara, hishva kosin isha le'ishva chol oinji shimba toira. So, women are potter from mitzvahs asei, shezman groma, but women are mechuyev in all los asays, whether they happen to be zman groma, not zman groma. So, what do I need limudim? What do I need ho ezrach to be marbe, to be mamayit? Women are potter from sukkah because it's zman groma, they're mechuyev in yom kippur because it's a los asay. Omer Rabbi.
Loilam suk. Excuse me, it's not a losasa. Inui is a positive commandment. It's not technically a losasa.
Let me ask you, if a chas v'shalom person goes and eats on Yom Kippur, does he get, what is his onesh?
Kares.
Back to Masechtas Krisus. First Mishnah. How many Krisus are there altogether?
34 Krisus. 34 losasa Krisus. Okay.
And the only two mitzvahs I say are?
Pesach,
not Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is considered to be a lot.
My question.
No problem. And anyway, continue my Omer Rabbi. Le'ulam Sukkah Hilchasa. Sukkah is Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. Ve'itzrich. Now, what do I? In other words, Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai to tell you that women are potter. What do I need a p'tur for women? After all, I have it's a mitzvah station's man grama. So it's with Yitzchak. So could I take a meditation can to Dura? Ma dira ishvi ishtoi af sukkah ishvi ishtoi. After all, since we learned yesterday extensively the teshu can to Dura, and that's why Reb Lezer said you have to have 14 meals, and that's why the Chum said, just like throughout the year, sometimes you eat, sometimes you don't eat. Same thing here. So if Teshu Ken Taduru, how does a married man live? He lives together with his wife. So I would think that the wife is also mechuyev to come in the sukkah, that they should eat together, and etc., etc. Kamash Mulan, that's why the Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai tells you that women are pot. Rava says, I have another reason why I would say women are mechuyev, and that's why I need Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai to tell you that they're pot. What's the other reason? It's just, so did I to Chamina. Ya'alav chamishas, chamishas mechaga matzois, malal anoshim chayovis avkanoshim chayovois. As you remember, the reason why we have to eat in the sukkah the first night, like we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, and as we repeated this morning, is because we learn Chamisha Asa, Chamisha Asa, Mechag HaMatzis. That just like the Chag HaMatzis, the Erev Toich HaMatzis, the first night, it's an absolute chiyuv that you have to eat matzis. So the first night is an absolute chiyuv you have to eat in the sukkah. Now, I know that the chiyuv of eating matzah is also on the ladies. How do I know that ladies have a din of eating matzah? After all, it's a mitzvah asei shezman grama. So Rashi says, because it says in the pasuk, "Loisoichal olav chomet shivas yomam toichal olav matzis lechem oini," and the Gemara darshins in Masechtas Pesachim, "Kosh yeshne bebal toichal chomet yeshne bekumach oil matza," because of the
hekish, the juxtaposition, that the same pasuk says, lo yisoichel olav chametz, don't eat chametz. That's, of course, a lav, that women are mechuyav. So, shibes yom teichel matzis, women are mechuyav in the mitzvah asay of eating matzis. Ah, so just like women are mechuyav to eat matzah the first night of Pesach, I would think that women are mechuyav also to go and eat in the sukkah, at the very least, on the first night of sukkahs. Kamash v'lon, that women are potur. Now that I know that sukkah is halacha l'moish mi-sinai, so I'm not darshaning, hey, ho ezrach, to go and exclude women. Kral lomali, what do I need taka the hey for? And for the Gemara l'rabbis again, taka you're right, hey is not a miut, hey is a riboy, just like we find by inoy, that women are mechuyev on Yom Kippur. The hey is to tell us the inoy. Ah, so obviously the ho ezrach, the hey over here too, comes to be marbe geirim. So kedai techem in ho ezrach b'Yisrael, Amar Rachman of Leis Agerim. I would think ho ezrach b'Yisrael means a naturally born Jew and not a ger. Kamash v'lon, that's what the hey ho ezrach tells you. No, geirim are mechuyev just like the born Jews. Kamash v'lon. Yom Kippurim. Frank Dimar, we just said a moment ago that I'm using the halacha Moshe Sinai or the hay of Ho Ezrach to exclude, not to exclude, to include women that they're mechuyev to go and fast on Yom Kippur. Frank Dimar, Yom Kippurim, we said already before, in Reviewed Amar Avnafka, that it says in the Pasuk, Isha Isha, Kiyasu Mikol Chatas Adam. Hishva kosin ishul ishachol oinchin sheba toira. The tomorrow line is Recha elitay sefes inoy. You're right. Vis-a-vis Yom Kippur itself, of course women are mechuyev. Because of the lav, you have to make sure not to go and eat on Yom Kippur. The chiddush of the Gemara is talking about Tosefes Inoy. What's the Tosefes Inoy? Remember we had at the end of Masechtas Yuma, again the drasha that we brought before, B'inisa misnafshei seichem b'sisha l'choydesh me'erev b'erev, me'erev ad erev tishmasu shabatchem. From that the Gemara learns the din of Tosefes Inoy, that you cannot start exactly at Shkia or exactly Tzeisa Kachom. You have to add a little bit of time before and after the fast. For Tzefes Inoy, so good, I come in a hoyo. Umi Asara Linus Chai. I'm sorry, hoyo umi Rachmana, the Tzefes Inoy, me oinish umi Asara. As the Imar at the end of Masechtas Yuma explains, the din of Tzefes Inoy is not even a lav. It's a mitzvah asay to add on. Since the mitzvah asay, we just got finished saying that women are potter, min mitzvah asay shazman grama, and therefore in the schai v'noshim klav, they would not have the din of tosefes. Kamash malon, no, they do have the din of tosefes inoy, just like the menfolk. Now that we have finished with the discussion about women, now we go back to the Mishnah, noshim v'avodim uketanim. Zokti yimor omamar kol, the rabbi says ketanim, kol ho ezrach b'Yisrael, Yeshu Basukah is called come to take the Ktan. Frank Dimar, but now we come to the Mishnah. Not even the Ktan and Peturim in Asukah. A cotton is potter. And you're telling me called comes to be Marv Ktanim. So we'll look at it. Can be cotton Shigil Lechinach, can be cotton Shaloi Yigil Lechinach. A child that is so young, which the Mishnah described is a Tzorach Le'imoi, so he's Lo Yigil Lechinach, he is off the hook. He is Taka Potter. That's what the Mishnah said, Peturim. That you just said, call cotton shigil lechinach, that comes to be marba cotton that is shigil lechinach, which we defined as that einoy tzarech leimai. Frank Timara, cotton shigil lechinach, that's midrabanan hu. That's only din rabban. All hilchos chinach are drabban. A cotton is never mechuyev min hatoira. So what are you telling me? I have kol or ezrach? Frank Timara, you're right. Midrabban across machtav yalmu. Again, avad min hatoira ktanim are potim in asuka until they reach the eighth. The age of bar mitzvah, then they're mechuyev. Until that age, they are totally potter. That we learn kol is an asmachta that the chachamim found a place to, in a sense, hang their hats. But really, there's no need for a pasuk because it's all drabban. Now we send the mishnah kodesh in tzorach leimoy is mechuyev b'sukkah. Frank Timara, tell me what does that mean? Hey chidomi kodesh in tzorach leimoy. I'm the Rav Yanai kol shenifne. That a child that goes to the bathroom and doesn't need his mother to go and clean up. I don't have to tell you that all small children, they have the diapers and the women have the fresh wipes and all the rest to go and clean up the mess of the children, at the point where the child is now toilet trained, and even after toilet training, but also can wipe up the mess on his own, doesn't need a mommy, that's the cotton chain and that's the definition. That was the first shot. Reb Shimon, on the side it's in that Reb Shimon Lakish, that's Reish Lakish, Oymer, Koshener Mishnasai, any child that wakes up from his sleep, the Enoi Koyrei Ima, and doesn't start calling out, Mommy! That type of child is a Koshener Terechle Ima. Pray Gemara, Ima! Gedolim Nami Karu! You even have older children that they wake up in the morning, the first thing they call out is Mommy. So, it sounds like from what you're telling me that that would have to be a 10-year-old or 12-year-old, because children, even when they get older, they call out mommy when they wake up. So it says, Ima, you're right. Ima, a child that wakes up and doesn't continue to persist and say, mommy, 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 until mommy finally comes over and says, quiet, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, go back to sleep. Mommy, what a battle! Anyway, so the point is, the Ima is a very young child, that he or she, the child, it doesn't even get out of bed until mommy comes to the bed and tries to comfort them and say good morning and all the rest. While the Ima means they wake up in the morning to tell mommy, I'm up, I'm around, Baruch Hashem. It's like their form of Moda'ani, I'm up, mommy. But they don't continue to persist to call Ima, Ima. If mommy goes back to sleep, they either also go back to sleep or they get up without continuing to call Ima, Ima two times. Okay, Masav Yolda Kolosi. We send the Mishnah that Ketanim are Potur, except a Katan she'ein Tzarech L'Imai, and then Shami Azakin went and broke through the roof and put up schach. Masel Lister, L'Chayah, this is so sir, because obviously a 1 day old is a child that is Tzarech L'Imai. Says Yimachzur Machzur Bachik Tani, add a line of words in our Mishnah. Shammai Machmir, and Shammai was Machmir even for the youngest children. Meaning, Avad Meikradin, your potter. But Shammai Azokin, he was Machmir even if a 1 day old should already be sitting in the sukkah to have the tzila, the hemnusa, the feel, and the kedusha, and the shechina, which is in the sukkah. Okay, next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. Kol shivas hayomim odom oisa sukkasi keva ubei soy aroi. When it comes to 7 days of sukkahs, a person should look upon his sukkah as being his permanent residence. If anybody wants to send him a check or a bill, he should say, my residence is now the sukkah in front of 600 West End Avenue, or wherever he happens to live. His residence for the next 7 days is not in his house, but in his sukkah. If it starts raining, when can you move out of the sukkah and move home? And the mikvah, says Rashi, is referring to a food item, which is loyrach v'loyav. It is not particularly soft and not particularly hard or thick, but rather it's mikvah, which is, Rashi says, it's tavshul kofui. Kofui usually means that something which is congealed. So it's not totally loose like a soup, and it's not like a hard piece of a chvais roast beef. It's somewhere in between. It's called mishatisach hamikvah. If the food is already going bad, tisach over here doesn't mean a sirchoin, a bad stench. Rashi said mishatiskalkel, that the rain is causing the machel to go bad, to lose its taste, and to get all watery. Then you can leave the sukkah. Moshel, lamada v'dayma. The Rabbanan came up with a moshel. Le'evet shebalim zayk kois l'rabbi. And Evet came to go and pour the kois for his rabbi. In other words, to act as a butler, as a waiter. V'shafach le'kitan alpanav. And instead, he went and threw the kitain, the bucket or the pitcher with all of the wine, and he poured it into his face, threw it at his face. Whether this is referring to the rabbi pouring into the face of the Evet, or the Eved pouring into the face of the Rabbi, it is not clear from our Mishnah. And Rashi says, the Gemara will be Mefarish, Mi Shofach Lemi. Who spilled the wine on the other one's face? We'll see Mitzvah tomorrow in the Gemara. Okay, so Gemara. Turn around. It says in the Pasuk that Ezra Yisrael Yeshu Vasukois and Mesukos Seishavti and Shivas Yomim Tasa. So you have to make Sukkos for 7 days. So the Brayse Kol Shivas Yom Oda Yisum Sukkos Keva VeBeis Haroi, like we had in the Mishnah. Now, how do you define Beis Haroi in Sukkos Keva? Zok the Brayse Ketzad Hoyu LeKelim Noim. If a person has nice crockery, nice cutlery, mal nesukah, take it up to the sukkah, don't leave it at home. Matzois nois, if you have nice bedspreads, mal nesukah, take it to the sukkah. Oil chum shoysa, eat and drink, umetail besukkah. If your sukkah is large enough, you should go and take a tiul. You should go and take a walk in the sukkah. So if you more manani mili, how do I know the Torah Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, basukah is teishvu shivas yamim, teishvu ke'en tuduru. That's what we had before the drasha. You live in the sukkah. Teshu doesn't mean to sit in the sukkah. Teshu means to live in the sukkah like a dira. Mikan omru koshim sayom oisa odom sukkos in keva ubeisa roi. 7 days, the sukkah is the keva. Keitzar. Hoyulakelim noy mal in the sukkah. If you have nice crockery, nice cutlery, take it into the sukkah. Matois nois mal in the sukkah. Take it into the sukkah. Oil chvishoisa metal the sukkah. Umishanin b'sukkah. What means mishanin? Mishan is from Lushin. Vishinantam levenech v'dibar tabam. Learn in the sukkah until it becomes shonen, until it becomes klur. In other words, Rashi says, soyver limudoy umechafchoy al buryoy. Go over the Gemara until you understand it to the nth degree in its greatest depth with great analysis, etc. This you should do in the sukkah. Frank Dimar Aini, you're telling me that the Braisa requires Mishana B'sukkah, but Amar Rava. Rava said, Mikra Umisna B'metalalta. If you're going over Mikra Tanakh, you're going over Mishnayas, that you should do B'metalalta in the Sukkah. The Tanui, however, if you're learning Gemara, Svaris back and forth, that's Bar Metalalta, when you leave the Sukkah. Didn't you just say a moment ago that umishanin besukkah, you're supposed to be shinantam, you're learning the Gemara to understand it clearly, that's Gemara. And you said that's in the sukkah. And here Rav is saying, no, you do it outside the sukkah. What's going on? So it's Waloi Kasha. Hob emigras hob iyuni. Rashi says hob emigras means that if the shinun is that you are reviewing and doing chazara again and again and again, you learn the daf, and the daf is so gishmak, you want to commit it almost to memory, so you learn it again and again and again. That's one form of shinun, that it should be sharp and clear in your mouth. But there's another form of shinun of bi'iyuni, to really go and explore, to go bi'iyun, in depth, to understand every last word. Ah, the Zokhi Gemara, the migras, the review, since you learned the Gemara already, and the shinun is that it should be clear, cut, that you should remember every word, that you can go and do chazara in the sukkah. However, if you want to do your analysis, says Rashi, then very often a person needs a clear mind, and therefore he needs the clear air. So many people will walk in the park and therefore try to get some nice clear air to come into their moach, into their brain, to be able to really delve into the intricacies of the Gemara. In fact, Gemara gives us a case, kiha, just like Rava Bar Chama, actually the Maseiros HaShas says Rava and Rami Bar Chama, both Rava and Rami Bar Chama, Ki Abba Mekaimi, the Rav Chizda, they were both initially Talmidim of Rav Chizda, and then Barry will always remind us that not only were they Talmidim of Rav Chizda, but both of them were Zoche to be sons-in-law of Rav Chizda. I'm sorry?
Sons-in-law
of Rav Chizda.
Sequentially,
because they were both married to the same woman. Sequentially. There's another Gemara that says Rav Chizda once had his young daughter on his lap, and he pointed the two, Rava and Rami Bar Chama, and he asked his daughter, to whom would you like to be married when you get older? And she says to both of them. And that's in fact was Makuyim. She in fact married both of them, and Rami Bar Chama picked up his finger and says, but I want to be first. So he was first, and Rava was second, right?
I think Rava said, I want to be second. I think
okay, so Mitchum. Okay, we'll get to that Gemara Mitzvah and we'll review it. That's why it has to be Shonen Beficha. It should be crystal clear so we shouldn't stumble on our words. Shkoyach Bari. Anyway, so Rava and Rami Bar Choma, Ki Avakayim Mekami Rav Chizda, when they would get up from the shir of Rav Chizda, Merati Bi Gemara Bahadi Adari. First they would learn Bechavrusa. Merati means to speed through. Doesn't really mean to speed through, it means they would go over it again and again, so until it would be speedy in their mouths, they wouldn't have to stumble and stall and wait and understand, until it was really clear that they could, you know, just pour it out. After they reviewed it a few times together, Bahadur, after that, Ma'ayim Besvara, they said, okay, now that we really know we've committed Rav Chizda's shir to memory, now let's analyze every word that we heard to see whether or not we can bring proofs, kashis, this, that, or the other thing. And with that, we conclude today's Gemara, and Mitzvah, we're going to continue tomorrow morning, approximately 8:05 or so. I will aim for 8 o'clock, but since it's a long laning, by the time we get started, it might only be a couple minutes later. Have a wonderful day.
I just learned that my good friend, Rabbi Professor Robert Goldenberg,